to cover a few very interesting subjects, I do hope. We also will take you into the land of emotions, but about this a little later.
I would like to start this session with a little reading of a true story. It's called The Emotions of a Teacup. Once there was a young man, rather immature in his life, but ready to learn. He had a strong liking for antique things and was happy to visit different antique stores in all European countries he went to for holidays. Over the time, he developed a strong interest in antique pottery and especially in teacups. He felt they all had their unique stories to tell. Once, while he was in an old fortress in Serbia, which had been partially transformed into a museum, he spotted an exceptional teacup in a dusty antique store, which clearly had Turkish influences. He asked the bespectacled seller, "May I see that exceptionally beautiful teacup over there? It seems to come from Turkey." As the man handed him the teacup, our young man suddenly heard the teacup speak up. "You don't understand," it said. It's a true story. "I have not always been a teacup. There was a time when I had no idea what service meant. I was just a dumb lump of red clay. Let me tell you my story. You will learn from it. I've lived for many, many thousand years. I've witnessed wars and peace coming and going. Whole civilizations rolled over me as I sat there waiting. For what? I don't know. Then one day, my master came. He took me, brought me home, rolled and pounded me on a wooden table. Again and again he poked his finger into me, and finally I yelled out, 'Don't do that!' Imagine someone would take you like this. 'Leave me alone!' But he only smiled and gently said, 'Not yet.' The teacup became more and more alive as he spoke to the shocked young man. Then, whoom! I was placed on a spinning wheel and suddenly spun around and around and around until I lost all my sense of direction. 'Stop it! Don't you see that I'm getting sick? Quickly take me from the spinning wheel!' But the master only nodded in understanding and quietly said, 'Not yet.' He only bent me in and out of shape to suit his plan with me, and then he placed me carefully into an oven. I never felt such heat. I yelled and knocked at and pounded at the door. 'It is hotter than hell. I'm burning to ashes. Please get me out of here before it is too late.' I could see him through a tiny hole. I could only read his lips as he shook his head from side to side, silently pronouncing, 'Not yet.' You know everything. When I thought I could not bear the heat for another minute, the door opened. He carefully took me out and put me on a shelf where I began to cool. It felt so good to be left alone. But more was going to come. After I had cooled down, he carefully picked me up, looked at me, and brushed some dust away. Then he brought the colors and something transparent, the glaze. The fumes were horrible. I thought I would gag. "Please, you have no mercy. Don't you understand my misery? Please, please give up on me. Please, stop it."
But he only shook his head and said, "Not yet." You know everything, even what the teacup said. "You are not yet ready." Then unexpectedly and very quickly he put me back into the oven. Only it was about twice or thrice as hot as the first time. This was the most intense. From the beginning I felt, "This is my death." I begged, I pleaded, I threatened, I screamed. Finally, I cried without tears, not even hot tears. I was convinced I will never make it. I was ready to give up. Just then, in the last second, as I was slowly fainting, the door opened and he took me out and again placed me on the shelf where I cooled and waited and waited and waited. What was going to be next? An hour or later he came back and placed a mirror before me and said, "Look at yourself." And I did. What I saw amazed me. "It is what you see now." "That's not me," I said. "That cannot be. It's too beautiful, too..." With a very compassionate voice he spoke, "This is what you are meant to be." And then he explained, "I know it hurt you when I rolled and kneaded you on the table. But if I had not gotten the air out of you, you would have broken. I know you must have lost all your sense of orientation when I was spinning you. But without this, you would never have come into this form. I know the fumes of the colors in the glaze were intolerable when I painted you all over. But if I had not done that, you would not have had any color in your life. And you would not have hardened. And when I placed you in the second oven, I knew that this would be the most severe part. But without it, you would have broken very easily when the realities of life would have come. Believe me, all I did was just for your good. Now you are what I had in mind when I first saw you on the ground. Now you are a finished product." With this, the teacup stopped speaking. But there was a tear of gratefulness coming from its beautiful rim. The young man purchased the teacup and only used it when he offered something to God. He never forgot the lesson he received from it. And whenever he himself was in a difficult situation and he felt like calling out, "Stop it! Leave me alone!" he remembered the words of the teacup maker. "Not yet." However, he also became grateful, for he knew that everything that happened was designed by the Lord to make him what he was meant to become, a pleasing servant. Hare Krishna. This is called, this is from an article, Becoming Mature in Krishna Consciousness. If you wish to have this article with this beautiful story, you can ask Sadanandi, who is here, and she can send it to you on the computer, so that whenever you feel that Krishna is testing you a little hard, and you feel like saying, stop it, you will hear Krishna's beautiful answer, not yet. You're not yet a finished product. Hare Krishna. With this, I would like to open our little afternoon session about emotions in Krishna consciousness. The story has a beautiful ring to it, a ring of wisdom. What I personally find very telling and appealing is really not what the teacup had to undergo, and that it was all meant to bring him to what he was meant to become. Now, I like very much that the teacup did not know the plan behind it, but there was someone who knew the plan. This was the teacup maker in this little story, God, or Krishna. Now, as we go through our lives, we are also dealing with these emotions for instance, things are getting a little bit intense for us, and we often don't see the plan behind it. However, Krishna has a plan, and once a devotee understands the plan of Krishna behind what happens to him or her, then the devotee can become peaceful, and these emotions of rebellion, or maybe even disappointment or frustration and lamentation, can go. But let me ask you a critical question. Can you tell your emotions what to feel? Or do they just happen on their own? In other words, can you have an intellectual understanding like the one which I'm just trying to transport into your heart space, that have faith in Krishna, everything which you undergo has a divine plan behind it? Do you think that this understanding alone will change your emotions? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Can you tell your feelings what to feel? Ananda Varana, can you tell your mind, be happy now? Or be loving, and will it work? This is do you feel this is a good question? Duryodhana is a good example. Duryodhana, of a person who could not tell his emotions what to do. Duryodhana was once going into the forest with all his retinue. Retinue means people from the royal court. He knew that the Pandavas were staying at one particular lake, and they stayed in the banishment. They were very poor. They lived from fruits from the trees in the forest. And Duryodhana, in order to show the Pandavas how nice he lived and how bad it was for them in the exile, took, you know, golden chariots, like very nice palaces, women, nice food, and stayed at the other side of the lake to enjoy right before their ears. It's almost eyes. It's almost like if I know that you are all fasting for Jamashtami and I sit before you. Pizza. Cake. to make you suffer. This was Duryodhana's plan. So, but Duryodhana had a terrible things really worked against him. On that day, the king of the Gandhava, Chitrasena, was coming with all his women to the lake to bathe, and he told Duryodhana, go away. We want to enjoy here. You know, like on the beach, you know, when someone is lying already down, and then another comes, this is my spot. So Chitrasena, and Duryodhana said, no way, you have to fight. And then he was getting his army ready. But Chitrasena, with his Gandhava army, beat all the Kauravas into pieces. The crowns fell down, and finally he took, he fought against Karna. Karna had to run away into the forest. Duryodhana was captured and was put on the chariot, and like a wild animal, he was being driven away into some heavenly prison. Only one person survived this, and he ran to the Pandavas and said, Duryodhana and his whole army was defeated by the Pandavas. Bhima smiled. Very good, very good. But Yudhishthira said, they are family members. After all, we belong to one family, and if one family member, even if he acts as your enemy, is in a problem, you have to save him. And he told Arjuna to take care of the army of the Gandhavas, and Arjuna did so. He broke with his celestial arrows the chariots of the Gandhavas, then the armor of the Gandhavas, and finally he brought them down and said, free my cousin Duryodhana, or I will extinguish the whole race of the Gandhavas. Chitrasena said, tika, tika. And gave Duryodhana. Now, after this, Duryodhana felt so frustrated. I have been totally humiliated by the Gandhavas and then by the Pandavas two times in this day. I have no desire to continue being king. I will go now into the forest and die while fasting. And then in his mind he thought, could it be that the Pandavas, because of their connection to Lord Krishna, are protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Could it be that Krishna is God? I think my mind tells me today that Krishna is God. Then Karna came and saw Duryodhana. Oh, I'm very, very happy that you have conquered the Gandhavas. Karna said, go! No, Duryodhana said, go! You were fleeing, you were running away from the battlefield, and you don't know the fact. I was captured by the Gandhavas, and it was Arjuna, my arch enemy, who freed me. I will fast to death. Oh, said Karna, don't do this. In every battle, there are sometimes defeats. After some time, you will be very victorious again. Please become king. But Duryodhana was not going to do it. He wanted to kill himself. He had these emotions. And he had also the feelings that Krishna was God and there was no way for him to ever fight the Pandavas, because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas and therefore empowering them to be victorious in all circumstances. But a little later his emotions changed and he felt, I don't care if Krishna is God, I will defeat the Pandavas and I will slay this Vasudev. Because emotions, and this is now very important, are not under the control of reasoning. Emotions, is the meeting place between the mind and the body. For instance, when you have some bodily situation, you are maybe very tired, then you usually get emotions where you feel, this is now the yoga perspective, where you feel just, oh, very tired. I know that sometimes devotees come to me and they feel very desperate, and I say, please, go first to bed and sleep for 3 hours. Come back afterwards and we will see what is your problem. And usually they are gone. You know, if they are in this category, they were not clear about this. Or when we speak of feelings, we often use bodily expressions. I feel as if someone has just put a lemon into my stomach. Or how do you feel about this? Well, I feel as if he has, when I see him, I feel like as if someone had punched his fist in my stomach. You know this language, it's bodily language. It's very often very much connected. I'm speaking now of one type of emotions, yes? And they change with physical well-being. The emotions sometimes change. So this is a very interesting thing. That's why we learn in yoga that if you can have a healthy body, you can also get healthy emotions. But people who are always, have you seen these? Who go like this, and have dark faces. It's connected. Hare Krishna. This is new for the Hare Krishna devotees, I know. And therefore, emotions are rarely under the control of the reasoning. They are under the control very often of the body and of the mind, you know, but not under the intelligence. Mind is a little bit more under intelligence, but emotions is a little bit more under the body control. I would like to give you an example. In Germany, we once had a very, very nice brahmachari. He was the leader, one manager. He was a managing brahmachari, and we all noticed that sometimes he felt a little lonely. So once he left his chada in the temple room, and when he came back to the to look for it, he didn't find the chada. But next morning he found it. And it was very nicely washed. It was folded together. He didn't know what had happened. He only had an idea what it was. No, there was a little letter in the chatter. Greetings from Bhakti in Sicilia. No, so I still remember this. This Bhakti in Sicilia had a nickname amongst the brahmacharis. Please don't find objections. We were all a little immature. This is a part of academically registered ISKCON history. She had the nickname Fireball. Fireball, because she sent out some powerful womanly vibrations wherever she was. So this brahmachari came to me and said, what do you think about Bhakti in Sicilia? Because I had preached to her. Her milieu was not very encouraging. She had come from a place in Berlin where, oh Krishna, I don't know if I should tell this. It was not very encouraging, her milieu. And I said, she has a social background which is a little discouraging. I mean, you are older and she's still very young and she's very new and you don't know which way it will go. I mean, most probably with such a milieu, you know, I have to say it, she was one of the women who would sell the fruits of her body to the eager customers, a prostitute. I mean, she's a sincere soul, but let us wait. These people sometimes have difficulty to control their mind and their emotions. And but one day he came to me and he said to me, Sachinandan, I don't think we can tell our emotions how they should feel, but I'm in love with Fireball. This is the reality. Then I talked with Cecilia. I said, and she said to me in a discussion, your emotions are what they are. Let things happen. I know it's not Krishna conscious that I get married now to a brahmachari so-and-so. But maybe it will become Krishna conscious in the future. It didn't become Krishna conscious. It became very tragic, but that's another story of our very stormy past in Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, I'm telling this in such great details to make you aware of the emotions and what they are. They are very powerful forces they have sometimes been compared to the waves of an ocean. This may be the mind, the ocean of the mind. And then by some material influences, wind, you know, some situations which happen in your life, which have a lot to do with your physical existence in this world, the emotions become topsy-turvy and moved, and the intelligence cannot really preach to the emotions because, you know, they are under another side. But there's something which you can do to make your emotions your friend. You have to learn a simple habit, and that is to decide the milieu in which you are active. Is it the spiritual atmosphere or is it the material atmosphere? Just like waves are dependent on winds, which is clearly an outside influence, the emotions are dependent very much by the circumstances, which is also an outside influence. And by changing circumstances, you can very often change emotions. And I will give you an example from Narottam Das Thakur, a little in the future, but I would like to go a little slowly here, because it is important. You must know that in your life you will always find a Krishna conscious environment, and you will also find a mayic or maya environment. And depending in which environment or which circumstances you go, you will be feeling your emotions influenced by different winds, so to say. There is no point of pulling your hair and asking, when is this ever going to stop, this need for me to go to the spiritual side. As long as you are in the material world, you always have to make that conscious decision. And it has to become a habit, Dinadaya, to choose the spiritual environment so that your emotions become spiritually influenced. Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about emotions when chanting. He said, Srila Prabhupada, when I'm chanting, sometimes material emotions come into the heart. Do you know what Prabhupada answered? He said, it's the super soul giving you a choice. Do you now wish to go the spiritual in the spiritual environment, or do you wish to go in the material environment? Sometimes when you chant, isn't it, you feel this, oh, I lost it. Isn't it? Or do you, when you chant, all of a sudden, some emotions come, oh, so and so, Devi Dasi also chants. And she chants in the next room. Oh, so and so Das also chants, and he chants in the next room. So many things can come, emotions of anger, of hope, of when I'm finished with chanting I will take over the world, great enthusiasm, and so on and so forth. And what you can do is, you can decide, no, this may be so, but I will now take my whole mind and all this emotion in a spiritual atmosphere. The best, really, which our tradition always says, is bring yourself in the atmosphere of good devotees. Then your emotions will become influenced by the strong winds of Krishna consciousness in their association. I always have this experience when I go, for instance, to the Mayapur festival. In the Mayapur festival, I always feel one extreme emotion. I feel two emotions. It comes in the association, oh, Sachidananda Swami, you're not doing enough. Somehow I feel this always when I'm with the devotees. But it's not in a bad emotion. It's not like lamenting. At the same time I feel, oh, there are so many chances. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. I very much like, for instance, to go, and I will show you this with the environment, to go to Vrindavan, and I also go in my mind to Vrindavan during the day, because in that environment I become spiritually surcharged. It is said for devotees that they should either live physically in the Dham or mentally in the Dham. Have you heard this before? Because in that atmosphere devotees feel that their emotions become spiritually surcharged and so so on brought for. Yeah.
See, Krishna is not a mean sadist who says, I have given you the impossible process of Bhakti Yoga.
Let us see how you will do.
No. Krishna has given us the possible process of Bhakti Yoga because he knows that in that environment of nice bhajans, nice, you know, devotional association, also your emotions become awakened in a spiritual way. Whereas when you allow yourself to be in the material field, even with your mind, Thomas, you look like under the prashalam coma. I'm sorry, but I noticed it and I thought I should tell you. It's a question of environment. Our Thomas was in the prashalam environment and he has the symptoms today. It was a Sunday feast and he is a bhakta, and you know what bhaktas do when Sunday feasts come. So this is a good habit. And I would like to do this now with all of you. I would like to bring you to the Holy Dham. Gaurahari has made some very beautiful pictures from our last retreat, and we want to show this to you so that you could maybe experience a little bit how your spiritual emotions come forth. Let us make an experiment. We will just look at this, and as we look at this, we will try to see if it does something to us. Peace. Yes. When we come into such an atmosphere of the Holy Dham, Rupa Goswami says that there are two energies which work on us. One is Taraka, which liberates us from the material world and from our material life, and the other is Paraka, that which attracts us to Krishna. So these two types of energies are moving there, and that's why our emotions change. Now if you can somehow apply this, these two energies are sleeping in the processes of Bhakti Yoga, and if you can surround your mind with these with the processes of Bhakti Yoga, they will arise your feeling of great liberation, and they will arise your feeling of attraction to Krishna. Good. Do you have any questions till now?
Sometimes you were mentioning how if we change our circumstances, then that can help our emotions to change.
Yes.
So then also to explain that you can, wherever you go, you have to take your mind with you.
Yeah.
In one sense, even if you change your circumstance, the internal happiness or peace of mind is not
When I was about 13 years, so our Kirtida is saying something very nice. she said, when the ant came to the jeweled palace, it only saw a hole where it disappeared. That is, wherever you take your mind, and wherever you go, you take your mind with you. The ant came into had an ant mind, and when the ant came into the jeweled palace, it had the vision which ants have. That is, it saw holes in the jeweled palace where it could go. How do changing circumstances change the emotions? It depends into which circumstances you go. When you do go in a circumstance which is highly surcharged with Krishna consciousness, at such a time, there is a chance that your emotions change if you don't close yourself up to this change. See, when I was very... you must know something about my family. We are coming from the north. My grandparents are from Sweden. And my grandfather is an extremely proud man. And he was my teacher in my childhood. I mean, I had not a good relationship with the school authorities because I doubted that it was valuable knowledge. But my grandfather taught me a lot, and he taught me to always resist everything. So once I remember, my friend said, "There's only one way to change your stubborn mind. Come with me. I will change you." I said, "What will you do?" "I will go to where the cows are with you, and you will get some cow's electricity." I said, "Well, I will be able to resist." So the little boy took me on the hand and put this wire, you remember, from your childhood, the cows have the wire. And then the person who catches this doesn't get the electricity somehow. The last one in the row gets it. And I said, "No problem, I will be strong enough." And then he went like, the electricity was stronger than my resistance. So when you go into a very, very powerful devotional atmosphere, you can actually experience that change of emotions. In the Nectar of Devotion, it says that even a materialist who goes to the bank of the Yamuna, to Mathura, even he will change. It's just, if you go into a less powerful atmosphere, your mind might overpower the situation. But if the atmosphere is very powerful, Kirtida, it has actually the strength to change and transform us. It's also when you are with devotees, when you are with a very strong devotee and you do not close your heart, then you will become affected by the association. But when you are with a less strong devotee who might even have doubts, depending on how strong your mind is, you might not be changed. It's a question of voltage, so to say. Karana, karana. When the object of your emotions is spiritual, then it does not really matter so much that maybe your emotions are still not totally spiritual. Prabhupada once encouraged a Mataji who was crying before the deities that this is good, because she had focused her mind on Krishna. And obviously there might and must have been some sentimentalism, some material emotions in there. But if the object is spiritual, if it is Krishna, then there will be
spiritual advancement. When the object, however, is material, then there cannot be spiritual advancement. I want to give you an example of the last one. There was once a lecturer on the Ramayana who talked about the abduction of Mother Sita. And there was a woman who cried every day as she was reading or hearing the lesson of this great Ram Bhakta. Now, after 14 days, the Ram Bhakta decided to make a conversation with the woman and said, you feel obviously very much moved. Very good. My lectures are moving you. And the woman said, I'm thinking of my goat who died 3 weeks ago, because somehow your beard is exactly the same shape as the beard of my goat. So she cried during the Ramayana lectures, but the Udipan, or the incitant, that which moved her to tears, was really her goat, not the abduction of Mother Sita by this rascal demon Ravan, you know. So therefore she could not make much spiritual advancement. But someone who starts to get moved in his heart by Krishna, even though he may still have maybe 60% material emotions and 40% some beginning of attraction, so on, slowly Krishna will take over. That is his nature, karana karana. I think we all have made this experience in our lives. As we came closer to Krishna, Krishna became more and more and more prominent in our lives. Krishna, this is Krishna's character. As long as we stick with Krishna. See, when we talk philosophically, then we may not like sentimentalism, or we might feel the need to dissect it. But if we talk about the subject matter of how can we awaken our emotions for Krishna, so that Krishna will become more real to us than our material life, then any little achievement is already nice. I would like to Karana's point will appear again and again in our seminar. It's a very, very important point. You remember when I was talking about the choice that we can put ourselves into a spiritual atmosphere, if we choose to do so. There's something very wonderful if we make the right choice. When you make the right choice, or the choice to connect yourself with Krishna, even a little bit, the super soul thinks that this is a major step in a devotee's life. It's a feast which you offer the super soul. A feast the super soul has been waiting for since many, many lifetimes. The little desire of an individual soul to turn to him. And when Krishna sees this desire coming up, even if it is still mixed, he will make 100 steps in your directions. In other words, he is so moved that he will give you what is necessary. And there are a few Shastic verses which say that Krishna sees if someone makes the decision to hear about him, and he then becomes present in our heart and helps us. He's already in our heart, but he manifests himself more in our heart when he sees that we are moving a little bit in his direction. You will see this is a divine principle. Krishna is so moved by any one of his devotees who turns a little bit towards him that he decides in his heart, I must help this devotee in his or her difficult journey. Krishna becomes very active. We know from the Upanishads about the two birds. One is the conditioned soul who enjoys the fruits of the world, and the other is the super soul. So when that super soul bird sees how the conditioned soul turns towards him, he becomes so active. He has been waiting for this for long, long time. It's nothing insignificant for the super soul when someone sees the deity and goes, it's something very significant. It is more important for Krishna to see a devotee feeling some attraction for the deity than if the devotee makes a million marks. Hare Krishna. It's something very important. I have been waiting for this, says Krishna. My devotee has shown some signs of life. You know, like a deadly patient who makes his first breathe, you know, and then the doctors go, wow, super, he's breathing. He war tot geglaubt. He was tot geglaubt. Wie sagt man? Everyone thought he was dead, but now he has breathed. Wonderful. So this first reaction of the soul turning for Krishna, turning his emotions to Krishna, is very, very necessary, karana. From the philosophical state of mind, you might like to analyze how much percent of it is real, how much is material. Krishna just feels super. he doesn't come with his anyways, he knows. Good. Now I would like to talk about lamentation. I would like to talk about an emotion which we all know. Oh, my life is getting nowhere. Oh, I'm so fallen. I'm so miserable. No one makes it. Krishna has given us this impossible process of Krishna consciousness. Oh, no. I go to an older devotee and I lament his whole table full with my lamentations. That he can also feel what is the frustrations of material existence. Hare Krishna. There is a possibility to turn the emotion of lamentation. Who of you sometimes laments, by the way? Only Dhiramati never laments. Oh, sorry, you take notes. I'm sorry, Dhiramati. I thought your hand was down and I was extremely proud of you. I think lamentation is a very common emotion, you know, amongst us human beings. Now, there is a way to turn this and make it into something useful and something spiritual. One moment. It's really like this. When I usually lecture many hours a day, you know, as a preacher, and talk about it, but since I'm on this course, I never say, I just breathe and focus my attention and such things. And then after 1.5 hours, I become like, it takes a lot of energy to speak. Did you know this? When you're not doing it regularly,
I will soon drink my super energy Ayurvedic drink when I'm in my room. Okay, let's lament. Would you please choose your partner and lament a little bit to him? This is the person next to you. I mean, it sounds now very... Let us make it a serious practice, because after all, we do it so often, Anuradha. It's a very known practice. We just tell our person, our partner next to us, please make it... You will not be able to enjoy what I'm saying you if you don't lament now a little first. Lament about what you're doing wrong, or what is not going well in your life, huh? What is that? What is that? Oh, you're already starting. The instruction has not yet finished. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't start just now lamenting. So, what do we lament about? We lament. What is not going right, or where I feel some sadness in my life, some sadness, some disappointment, but it must be a real disappointment, some genuine frustration with myself or with the world. You know, lament for real, you know, and please give the other person also a chance that he can also lament. How many minutes can we lament? Ketida, how much do you need? I should. Well, can we make a fast lamentation? Can we do something like 7 minutes? Because it's better than nothing. Because we only have up to 6 o'clock. So, okay, start lament real intensely. You don't need to cry, but. Have you lamented? Yadu Nandan, have you lamented enough?
I was a startled lament. Yeah. I'm too proud, so it took me a while.
Hare Krishna. Everything is so bad. No one likes me.
There is great value in spiritual lamentations. Srila Prabhupada wrote about this. When a person regrets his sinful activities, the abandoning of Krishna consciousness and good intelligence, his path of deliverance from the path of the material clutches is opened. In other words, if you regret, I did so many sinful activities and I gave up my Krishna consciousness, I gave up my good intelligence. Oh no, what have I done? At that time, the path away from the material clutches is opened. And then Prabhupada says, only by this process can one be delivered from the clutches of nescience or ignorance in materialistic life. In other words, as you advance, you feel despair. And sometimes this despair, I gave up Krishna consciousness. I didn't use my chance. This is something like a precursor of real spiritual emotions. Do you know what is a precursor? In German language you say ein Vorläufer für spiritual emotions. And in English you would say it comes before genuine spiritual emotions. In other words, if you begin to feel bad about your material life, and bad about your chances in material life. Don't be tricked. This is the first sign of success. Amazing, isn't it? From the spiritual perspective. And because this is now such an unusual and difficult point, I will have to give ample proofs for this, so that you will believe it. I would like to introduce to you the biggest lamenter in Krishna consciousness, Narottam Das Thakur. He was such a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that once, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Bengal with Nityananda, he would look towards one side branch of the Ganga and he called out, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. Nityananda was asking, who is Narottam? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he is not born yet. He will soon appear at the bank of the Padma River. And I will now do something, Nitai, which I have never done before and which I will never do again. Mahaprabhu reached and took his own love which was in his heart for Krishna. And he said, Ganga, O Ganga. And Ganga Devi came rushing out. You have called me, my lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, here, take this. And gave her this his condensed love. And he said, Ganga, when I have left, there will be my great devotee Narottam. And when he comes and takes his bath in your waters, then give him this present, which I now deposit with you. Ganga said, my lord, this is a very intense present. my lord, how will I know who is Narottam? There are many, many people who take take bath in my waters, and they don't announce their names before they take bath. I'm Krishna Das. I'm Malini Devi Dasim. You know, they don't usually call their names. So how will I identify Narottam? This is my question to you. Gauranga said, he's such a great devotee. When he will take his when he will enter your waters, you will come over the bank. In other words, you will flood. Oh, sorry. Sorry if I don't want to fall on my audience today. But this is a very important point. And then you will know who's Narottam. This is what happened when Narottam when he entered the Ganga, he was given that gift of prema, and he wrote many important songs, and one song description is his song book called Prarthana. Now Prabhupada says any devotee who wishes to know about bhakti must study this song, Prarthana. This song is full of lamentations, if you so wish. Would you like to hear one spiritual lamentation? Yeah. Hari Hari Bifale Jana Magai Nainu. Oh. I'm a little shy to sing before you because I'm not a good singer. Hari, O Lord Hari, Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Although I have obtained a human birth,
I have refused to worship Radha and Krishna. And in this way, I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of love of God has descended from the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, appearing in this world as the Sankirtan movement of the chanting of Lord Hari's holy name. Why am I not attracted to it? Lament, lament. Day and night I burn from the poison of material existence, but still I refuse to take the medicine. Lament, lament. No? Lord Krishna, the Prince of Braj, has appeared as Lord Chaitanya, the son of Sachi Devi. And Lord Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. Those who were most fallen and degraded have become lifted from their fallen condition by the chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari. The story of Jagai and Madai testifies, means gives proof, beweist, testifies to the truth of this. But I'm not attracted. Lament, lament. O Lord Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, O companion of Srimati Radharani, the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me. Please say this. O Lord Krishna,
O Lord Krishna,
O Srimati Radharani,
O Srimati Radharani,
please be merciful to me.
Please be merciful to me.
Now that I have finally attained your reddish lotus feet, your reddish lotus feet,
please do not push me away.
Except for you.
Except for you.
Who is my shelter?
Who is my shelter?
How do you feel? It is nice, isn't it? To lament like this. See, material lamentation is me-centered. Me, me, me. Me, me, me. And this didn't work out. Me, me, me. No one loves me. And the spiritual lamentation, this is the same force, you know, you lament, but you make it Krishna-centered. Oh, Krishna, you have come. Oh, Krishna, you are here. Please don't push me away. That will make you Krishna-conscious. I would sincerely suggest a remedy. Let us join the spiritual lamentation workshop. You know, we all have that power of lamentation within us. It is there, some disappointment. Let us somehow direct it to Krishna. And my suggestion to you is that you read these beautiful songs of Narottam Das Thakur as presented in the songbook Prarthana. This song which I have just sang, read to you, is called Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goinu, and it happens to be one of the favorite songs of Srila Prabhupada. There are several recordings where he has played on the harmonium and sang Manushya Janama Paya Radha Krishna Nabajiya. Oh, the lamentation must go in. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So this is one, I would say, one very realistic endeavor to bring to do something which Karuna has touched, to somehow, you know, she has asked the question, how do I know that my emotions become spiritually minded? And well, you can use this process of using this type of lamentation which we all have and turn it to Krishna, and you will see these are not
too high subjects, you know. It's not too high to say, why am I not attracted to the holy name? It fits perfectly to us. It is, in other words, a very realistic and very truthful practice. It's not a practice which is unrealistic or which is in the clouds. And please try it, this Krishna-centered lamentation, because we lamentation is very, very, very prominent in the human emotional mind. There are statistical investigations. I'm not sure if I... Wait a minute, there's one. Yeah, psychologists say the normal human person wastes so much time on lamentation. Oh, no one recognizes me, or why did this go wrong, and I doubt that I will ever be successful. You know, this type of mood is a 90% of our psychological activity. I mean, maybe not for I can't imagine for a devotee, but you know, it's prominent. Yeah. So this is where you can arise emotions for Krishna. It's the first thing. I have many more, and if you want to know the full seminar, please join us in Shida Mayapur. There we have a lot of emotions on Krishna consciousness. In the Mayapur festival, the devotees have asked me. Or you can watch the Bhaktivedanta College announcements. Yadunandan has kindly invited me to come for and present this. I mean, he said, please present something, and I have said, I want to present this. and so on. I will do some more research work on this. I want to end with this personal note. I somehow know that this is, in Germany we say, a hot potato. Emotions in Krishna consciousness. It is not that everyone, that you will hear so much about this in Krishna consciousness. And this is why I felt very much attracted to take on this hot potato and somehow do something with it. You please bless me that I do some nice further research, work. I have something which is very spiritual, how Rupa Goswami Rupa Goswami's work is a lot of arising emotions for Krishna, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I've done a little study on this. I couldn't present it here because of time reasons, and I wanted to only give you a little taste of what the seminar is about, but it is a very long seminar that is, I think, very... Anyways, it might become something nice after some time. I wish you a very nice time. This is the end of our class. We are 2 minutes over time, but I will not be able to take questions now because I have another appointment, but I think everything is clear. Start, please, with lamentation. A lament for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srisi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaur Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bol.